Hey, it's Movie Snark, making fun of what comes out of Hollywood. Explicit language guaranteed. I'm Archie Andrico, and you'll hear my voice a lot, though there will be guest readers. All movie parody scripts come from the-editing-room.com. This time it's Birdman, written by Alex W. and Ian S., read by Andrew Adam Caldwell.
Fade in. Interior, theater, dressing room. Michael Keaton floats cross-legged in midair, wearing his tighty-whities, so that our story can really hit the ground running by throwing some flimsy, covered, old guy scrote in our face. Michael Keaton. Eh, worked for Breaking Bad. Various posters and memorabilia indicate that Michael is playing an actor who used to be Birdman. Bird. Then other guys like George Looney and Vol Kilmer played increasingly stupider versions of Birdman until finally a gritty reboot by Christopher Nuthatch made Birdman respectable and even got an Academy Award for Thrush Ledger. Disembodied Birdman voice. You suck, Keaton. You never should have quit being Birdman. Have you seen that Ben Sadfleck poster? Michael Keaton. Voices in my head. And I can make things move with my mind. No way does that first fact cast any doubt on the second one. I clearly have superpowers now. Michael's ever-flustered manager, Zach Galifianakis, arrives. Michael Keaton. Damn it! Why are you here? Zach Galifianakis. Because we have the only casting director in the world who didn't watch Hangover 3. Come on, it's rehearsal time. Michael and Zach walk and walk and walk down to the stage of the play. Michael is producing an adaptation of a Raymond Carver story starring himself, Naomi Watts, Andrea Riseborough, and untalented schmuck crushed by falling stage light. Ah! Brain damage. Michael Keaton. Oops. Too bad. Actually, I made that happen with my telekinesis. He was a shitty actor. Zach Galifianakis. Wait, if that's true, you're a psychopath. You know, people have a way of getting rid of unwanted employees. It's called firing them. And I'm supposed to care about you for the next 2 hours. Michael Keaton. I must make a comeback. Make drama. Win awards. Hype the public. Zach Galifianakis. By being a former superhero blockbuster star making a small indie comeback in a movie about a former superhero blockbuster star making a small indie comeback? Michael Keaton. I'm hoping it's so obvious that it loops back around to being subtle again. They walk and walk to a different part of the theater. Michael Keaton. Hang on, are we doing this whole movie in one shot? Zach Galifianakis. Nah, we're faking it. It'll look really cool, except for those parts where we're obviously making a cut, which is shockingly often. Michael Keaton. So why bother? Director Alejandro Iñárritu. I must make drama. Win awards, hype the public. Cuarón got tons of props for doing Gravity, mostly in real time, but there were like 3 or 4 little time jumps in it, and shit. I'm going to do my entire movie in like 2 shots. That'll show him. Besides, people loved Russian art for this. Michael Keaton. Yeah, but without one-shot gimmick, that movie was as boring as squash rot. Director Alejandro Iñárritu. Don't make me drop a light on you. Michael walks and walks back to his dressing room for press interviews. Reporter. So, Michael, tell us more about this revolutionary wank fest. Michael Keaton. Basically, we're taking this 1995 Steve Buscemi movie called Living in Oblivion and redoing it, but switching from comedy to taking ourselves very, very seriously, but then telling the Golden Globes it's comedy. Oh, it's cool, though. Nobody remembers that stupid Buscemi movie. Fuck it. We'll keep the dwarf who complains about only doing dream sequences. Michael walks and walks back to the stage and finds replacement actor Edward Norton. Edward Norton. Hi there. Your acting sucks, and all that Birdman stuff you did was bullshit. Superhero movies are all bullshit, especially Marvel Studio movies. Those in particular are bullshit. Smiles. Luckily, you now have me, the amazing Edward Norton, whom everyone knows and loves and wants to suck the toenails on and would pay to suckle the ears of, and goes on and on for fucking hours. Andrea Riseborough, popping her head in frame. I'm pregnant! Michael's daughter, Emma Stone, takes Edward away, and they walk and walk down to costuming. He gets naked. Edward Norton. Ha-ha, losers! Witness my astounding devotion to the craft in the form of my pasty butt cheeks. I just scored major award points. Edward gets dressed and walks over to the dress rehearsal, which goes great until Edward discovers that his gin has been replaced with water. Edward Norton, freaking out. Oh, no more fucking substitutions. I insist we only use original, genuine things. What the fuck is this set? You must build a full-size real actual house and time travel us back to the 1950s. Oh, Michael Keaton. God damn it, Ed, you asshole. That's it. You're fired. Or we should go get a drink, whichever. Ed and Michael walk and walk over to the nearby bar. Edward Norton. I think you're overreacting to my huge childish tantrum. Remind me, why is this so important to you again? Michael Keaton. I must make a comeback. Make drama. Win. Edward Norton. No, no, important to your character. Michael Keaton. But same thing. Edward Norton. But surely there's some microgram of relatable human motivation. You did remember to include that part, right? Michael Keaton. Oh, yeah. Raymond Carver saw me act once and wrote me a deeply personal, heartfelt note. It's scrawled on this bar napkin stained with beer and vomit. Edward Norton. You were fleetingly, disposably acknowledged by a famous person, and that now drives your whole life? We may have just accidentally summed up the 21st century. Michael walks and walks back to the theater and frantically spazzes around trying to get his madcap dysfunctional actors and crew under control in time for the big show. He passes the guy who's been playing drums this entire time. Animal from the Muppets, drumming. Animal! Animal! The next dress rehearsal happens, and they reach the final scene. Naomi Watts.
Huh, so the play ends with Michael Keaton's character shitting himself, and gosh, I wonder how the movie is going to end.
Andrea Riseborough.
Hang on, that wasn't in the Raymond Carver story at all. We just made it up to be artsy.
A falling light misses her by inches. Edward and Naomi take their places where they are in bed together. Edward Norton.
Oh, hey, I'm totally hard. Now, how about I fuck you for real? You're cool with that, right?
Naomi Watts.
Why would any human being think anybody would ever be cool with that?
Edward Norton.
Because I'm method. That trumps everything else because otherwise my character might have sides and multiple dimensions and stuff.
Edward tries to rape Naomi, but we get to see Edward Norton's erect penis, so it's funny now. Naomi rushes off distraught, so Michael walks and walks and walks up to her dressing room. Michael Keaton.
Fuck! This movie has more walking than The Lord of the Rings. Anyway, don't worry, Naomi. You are awesome. I really mean that. Please don't sue me.
Leaves. Andrea Riseborough.
Michael never said anything that sincere and heartfelt to me.
Let's make out. Naomi Watts.
Why?
Andrea Riseborough.
When they pitched this as Comedy Black Swan, they meant the whole thing, damn it.
They kiss, passionately. This impacts the story by disembodied Birdman voice.
The reasons you are looking for cannot be found.
Naomi walks and walks and passes Zach, who walks and walks and passes Edward, who walks and walks and whoops, his back took up the whole screen for, oh gosh, what happened there? Now he is on the rooftop and we do a scene with Emma.
Edward Norton.
Wait, don't we have two rooftop scenes?
Emma Stone.
Yeah, but they're basically the same.
Edward Norton.
Cool. So we should have sex. Except I can't have sex. Except wait, yes I can.
Emma Stone.
Cool.
Edward Norton. Also, I want to rip your eyes out.
Emma Stone, less cool, try again later.
Emma walks downstairs and passes Andrea, who walks past Michael, who wanders into his dressing room and uses telekinesis to break shit. Or maybe he just smacks stuff. Disembodied Birdman voice.
What did you expect, Michael? Why would you make a play from a short story that's nothing?
Michael Keaton running hand through 7 light bulbs.
Shut up!
Disembodied Birdman voice.
But a lady talking about how much her abusive boyfriend loved her?
Michael Keaton, horribly bleeding, arteries severed.
It's all about levels, asshole. We've deliberately constructed the situation where a great short story's been made into a crappy play to hopefully make a great movie. Critics love all that contrasting level shit. Oh, by the way, fuck you, critics.
Please love us. Michael gets ready for the preview performance, but then gets locked outside in his underwear. He fails to free his robe from the door it's caught in, then politely knocks on the door, which shockingly no one hears. Michael Keaton.
I'm doomed. I have to walk through Times Square in my underwear, where everyone will film me. It's too bad I'm not surrounded by trash bags or anything I could use to cover my face.
Cell phone users filming Michael.
It's also too bad you decided to walk directly through an oncoming parade in the street instead of, say, a sidewalk where parades don't happen.
Michael Keaton climbing Coca-Cola sign.
Oh, no, don't look at me.
He finishes the play in his underwear, then walks and walks back to the bar. Critic.
Fuck you, Keaton. I'm so over the top, I make Anton Ego look like a finely tuned character study. And no, there's no magic food that will make me like you.
Michael Keaton.
So? You're just a critic? Critics suck ass. Please validate me. Eat shit!
Audience.
Yeah! I fucking hate critics. I'm so glad I saw this movie. I wouldn't even know about it if all the critics hadn't told me to go see it.
Michael gets shit-faced and passes out. The camera pans up into the sky and time passes. Director Alejandro Iñárritu.
Still one take? Okay, this is a really obvious cheat, and clearly the actors didn't stand around for 12 hours in character while this happened, but still, one take, kind of. And that also goes for the other two times I do the same trick. Fuck you, Cuaron!
Michael wakes up and walks around hallucinating his Birdman persona, as well as really expensive special effects, because this is a small, plucky indie movie with indie cred that can now be marketed as an action movie. Birdman, literally talking to camera.
Yeah, audiences like idiotic action shit because they got shallow pockets of mucus for brains. No one appreciates real art anymore with non-sequitur metaphors or the petty quests of insufferable protagonists.
Audience.
Yeah, I'm so glad I paid to see a rich guy act like a dick in a theater instead of in a robot suit. Now I feel smart.
Michael wraps up with a weapon of choice daydream and returns to the theater, where he finds Emma holding the script, no, some toilet paper. Emma Stone.
All this acting angst is bullshit. And all the awards and likes and retweets and such is even bigger bullshit.
Michael Keaton.
You may have noticed that we're hoping for major Oscar treatment here. Is this reverse psychology or something?
Emma Stone.
Of course. And now that I've delivered a monologue with any substance whatsoever, I'm a total lock for every supporting actress nomination out there. Fuck yeah.
Andrea Riseborough, popping head in frame.
Actually, I am not pregnant. Zach Galifianakis
evaporates. Emma walks away to find Edward to go have sex. Edward Norton.
Hang on. Isn't the first rule of romance that the audience has to fall in love with both characters? Otherwise, nobody will want to see them end up together.
Emma Stone.
It's okay. We're both obnoxious dipshits, so the rule works in reverse.
They fuck on the fly rail, like all the techies in your high school theater probably did. This impacts the flow of events by disembodied Birdman voice.
Purpose cannot be located. Please search your local piles of bird shit.
It's opening night now. Still, one take, fap, 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 and Michael is back in his dressing room. His ex-wife, Amy Ryan, shows up. A.B. Ryan.
I hope your show goes well, you insufferable bastard that I hate.
Michael Keaton.
Thanks. Listen, back when we were together, I tried killing myself by drowning, but there were
icky jellyfish, and it was like really cold. You know how you think it's it won't be that cold, but there, yikes, it's fucking cold. So I wimped out. But this is my chance to really do something good.
A.B. Ryan.
What? This self-indulgent circus trick of a movie? This is your big chance? Where you spent half of it arguing that it's all meaningless?
Michael Keaton.
Damn right! See, we can argue over whether this means anything for hours. Go back and forth, acting as noble, acting as vain, acting as truth, acting as pointless. But the thing is, it's still all about the acting. We get credibility points for taking shots at ourselves while keeping the spotlight firmly planted on us. Maybe there's meaning to be found in other walks of life, in unglamorous jobs, in simply being a good friend and a decent person, or, God forbid, focusing on other fucking people. But fuck that shit. We gotta keep jerking it over my acting and my art and searching for meaning there and there alone. Because if that spotlight ever goes off, who knows? We might see the whole world.
Michael takes a real gun and walks to the stage and shoots himself in the head. This receives a standing ovation from the theater audience, so impressed by the shock ending that they forget all about the 2 hours of ruthlessly mediocre playwriting that came before it. M. Night Shyamalan. Maybe I should do theater. Exterior. Artsy montage.
Things. Dead animals. Experimental film. Goodbye to language.
Interior. Hospital. Michael wakes up in a hospital bed with a big honkin' bandage on his face. Emma Stone.
Good news, Dad. You managed to only wound your nose, so officially you have the worst aim ever. On the other hand, everyone loves your play, you're a huge hit, and I respect you now.
Michael Keaton.
Let me get this straight. I attempted suicide. As a direct result, I immediately got everything I wanted and everyone loves me.
Emma Stone.
Yep. Hell of a message, Mike.
Michael Keaton.
But don't you see? I finally did it. I mean, this whole universe all about me.
To camera.
I'd like to thank the Academy for this award and for choosing me over a guy currently doing some of the worst overacting since Battlefield Earth. Now, for a demonstration of my powers,
jumps out the window. Emma goes to the window, looks up, and smiles. Director Alejandro Iñárritu.
Ah, yeah, ambiguous ending shot. That's like meth to critics. Shiny hardware, here we come!
Emma Stone.
But every other supernatural thing has been given real-life explanations, so logically, Michael's a street pancake. While I'm hallucinating from having inherited his mental illness, not much of a mystery.
Emma gets crushed by falling stage light. Birdman finishes taking a massive two-hour dump, while over in the washroom, the Birdman character also finishes taking a massive two-hour dump. And
Movie Snark is a project of Bad Maria Productions. Please visit badmariaprods.com for more, and thanks for listening.